the end of last week's parsha concludes with Yaakov Avinu bumping into a camp of angels. The pasuk says that he came upon a camp of angels, and when Yaakov Avinu saw them, he called the place Machanaim. Machanaim means the camps, plural. Now the pasuk said he came upon a camp of angels. It doesn't say he came upon camps of angels. Now, I don't know what camps of angels look like. How would you tell the difference? It was more than one camp. They probably wore different uniforms. So what is it? Why did he name it Machanaim? He could have just as easily named the place Machana, the camp of angels. Then this week's parasha opens immediately. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Yaakov sends angels to Esav. And Rashi comes along to tell us, lest we think that he just sent messengers, that Yaakov Avinu sent Malachim Mamish. He sent real, bona fide, authentic angels. With the cards, with the ID. They checked them out and they were real angels. First of all, why did he need to send them angels? You want to get a message to Esav, so send people. What do you have to send angels for? And then he says to him, this is what you should say to Esav. Im Lavan Garti, ve'echar ad ato, I lived with Lavan and I waited until now. Rashi tells us, what was he telling him? Im Lavan Garti. Garti is the same letters as Taryag. Taryag mitzvah shamarti. I want you to know, Esav, I lived with Lavan for all these years. 14 years I lived with Lavan. And I want you to know that I kept all 613 mitzvahs. 20 years. He was in Shem Ve'Ever for 14. And then he was with Lavan another 14? 20? He was away for 34 years? Okay, it was a long time. But I lived with him all those years, and I want you to know I kept all the Taryag mitzvahs. Now, generally, when you want to go to somebody and you want to impress them, you generally choose something that person's going to be impressed with. So telling Esav, I want you to know, brother, I want you to know I spent 14 years with Lavan and I kept all 613 mitzvahs.
That's a big deal.
No, it's not a big deal. It's like talking Greek to a Martian. Who cares? Why would Esav care if he kept Taryag mitzvahs? Just it seems not to be relevant. He would have told them, I want you to know that I figured out a way where I can, you know, kill so many people in one swing. So Esav would be impressed with that. But why would Esav care if he kept Taryag mitzvahs? So there is a There's a Yisoid taught by Reb Zisha of Anapolit. The Reb Zisha says, quote, first of all, they quote a Medrash. The Medrash says, what was Yaakov afraid of? The Pasuk says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'id. Yaakov was very much afraid. So the Medrash says, all these years, I was outside of the land of Israel, and Esav was living in Eretz Yisrael, fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. What's more, all of these years, I was away from my father and mother, and Esav was fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Says Yaakov, I'm afraid shehu bo alai mikoyach Kibud Av. I'm afraid that he's going to come and be victorious over me with the power of the mitzvah of Kibud Av, the mitzvah that I didn't have. That was what Yaakov was afraid of. So how does he address that? So Reb Zisha says as follows. The Gemara tells us that Pinchas ben Yair says to his son-in-law, who is Reb Yehuda Anasi, Rabbeinu Kodesh, Yisrael Kedoshim Hem. Yisrael are holy. Why? Yesh Reitze Ve'en Loi. There are many Jews who want to do, but they don't have the capacity to do. V'yesh Sheyesh Loi. There are those who have the ability to do it, but they don't want him. Now, the first half, we understand, it's a tremendous compliment to Klal Yisrael, that there are Jews who have every reason to want to do the mitzvahs, but they don't have the capacity to do it. That's holy. But why is he complimenting the second half, the people that have the capacity to do it, and choose not to be in the rights, and they don't want to do it? What's holy about that? Says the Reb Zisha, quotes the Arizal, and the imagery here is phenomenal. Arizal writes that when a person does a mitzvah, if he does it correctly, he creates an awesomely holy angel. According to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, ha'itza mitzvah achas kanale prakletech. The person who does a mitzvah correctly creates for himself a defender. What's the defender? The defender is an angel. The person does a mitzvah and he does it correctly, he creates a holy angel. Says Reb Zisha that just like people are made up of body and soul, the angels we create are made up of body and soul as well. So, if we do a mitzvah physically, halachically correct, and we do it emotionally, we're involved, we're interested in doing it, we're excited about doing it, we sense the privilege in doing it, then you create an angel who has a body. The body is created by the action of the mitzvah. And you have a soul. The soul is created by the excitement, the passion for the mitzvah. So you have a healthy angel. What happens if a person wants to do a mitzvah, but then the situation comes up and he can't do it? So all he's left with is the passion and the excitement. So he creates a malach soul, but that soul has no body. Conversely, you have mitzvahs where a person does it, but they do it totally lackluster. There's no interest in doing it. So you create a malach's body, but that body has no soul. So what does Hashem do? Hashem partners up angel souls with angel bodies, and he brings these together. So you have one person who did it without desire, and another person who had the desire with and didn't do it. So Hashem brings them together and is able to create healthy, vibrant angels with a partnership. So Yisrael Kedoshim, Klal Yisrael is very holy. Why? Because you have one person who does it, but doesn't want to do it. You have another person who wants to do it and doesn't do it. So Hashem creates Shiduchim among the angels and brings together the action with the interest.
And who does the angel defend?
Oh, says Rabbi Friedman, who gets credit for it? The person who does it or the person who wants to do it? Okay. So the Reb Zisha, that's where the Reb Zisha's thought concludes. Now, the Reb Zisha's brother, Rebbe Lemelech of Lezhensk, says on a different Gemara, and this answers this Trudy's question of who gets credit. Says the Gemara, Machshava Toiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfei L'maisa. A good intent, a good thought, Hashem considers it as an action. Now, it doesn't say considers. It doesn't say mechashvei l'toiva. That would mean Hashem considers it as if the person did it. Mitzarfei l'toiva means Hashem combines it for the good. Well, what is he combining it with? Says Rebbe Lemelech, this is scary. He says as follows. I'll do a translation for you. He says, in the thought that a person has to do something, if they have no ulterior motive, they want to do a mitzvah, they want to study Torah, but they couldn't do it, Hashem foiled their plan, something happened. And there's another person who's studying Torah or doing a mitzvah, but they have all kinds of ulterior motives. So what Hashem does is he combines the righteous intent of the person who wants to do it right with the action of the person who did it with the wrong intent. And listen to the words. Vavikilu hu oisa maisahu. And it's as if the person who had the correct intent fulfilled the action. So he makes it pretty clear that the one who gets credit for it is the person whose intentions were there to do it correctly. Now, why is that? Why does the intent have greater power than the action? Because the Zohar says that Torah and mitzvahs that are done without passion, without love, without awe, cannot be elevated upward. They remain captured here in this world. Now, the Noyman the Melech adds, that this is the meaning of the Chazal that say that a person, if they have the opportunity, should even fulfill Torah mitzvahs for all the wrong reasons. Shalai l'shma. Because ultimately they will come to do it correctly. So he says, what is the Chazal saying? He's saying like this. A person might say to themselves, why should I bother fulfilling Torah mitzvahs before I'm really mature in my fulfillment? If I'm not going to get credit for it anyway. Some tzaddik in the Netherlands is running off with my actions because he wanted to do it right. He just never had a chance. I actually did it. You know, I spent the money. I did the work. And he's getting credit for it. Forget it. I'm not going to do this. Says Ibn Melech, no. That you're dealing with a righteous person. And that righteous person really does not want to benefit from other people's things for naught. So even though temporarily HaKadosh Baruch Hu combines our actions with their intent, but due to the fact that really great people don't want to have other people's things for no good reason, it's just temporarily in their domain. The moment we come to a place ourselves in our own maturity of service, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it back to us. So really you have to try associating with good-natured tzaddikim who eventually will give them back to you. You got to make sure who you affiliate with. Don't go with people who are, who are gluttons. For quite the contrary, those are probably some of the best ones, because the only reason you're doing them is because Hashem commanded us to do them. There's no ulterior motive there. Whereas the ones that we really enjoy, sometimes it's hard to fulfill a mitzvah for the correct reason when it's something that you thoroughly enjoy. I once was listening to my uncle Aaron was studying with one of his sons-in-law. I think it was here in Milwaukee, actually. He came and he was speaking here, and he said, learning with your kids, most people think that that's Olam Haba. It's stuff of the world to come. He says, baloney. It's total Olam Haza. It's all about pleasure in this world. It has no, it has no relationship to the world here. He says, that's all enjoyment here. So I think those mitzvahs may be some of our best mitzvahs. By the way, the Arizal himself is very fascinating. In the bracha of Ala Tzadikim, we conclude the bracha by saying, V'sein socha toiv l'chal abeitchem b'shimcha be'emes, give good reward to those who trust you, v'sim chalkeinu imam, and place our lot among them. So generally, we translate it as, make sure I'm counted among those tzadikim. When you do your counting, I want to be among them. So the Arizal says, you either are or you're not. It's not like a membership in a country club where you can buy your way in. Either we're a tzaddik or we're not. We seem chalkeinu, we may place a lot among them. That depends on how we conduct ourselves in life. What do we want from God? So he says this is the intent. That due to the fact that Chazal tell us that tzaddikim benefit from our actions, so what we're asking is that see to it that our chelik, our portion that we invest, should temporarily be with them, but ultimately we should get it back. At some point, we should be able to derive and get our mitzvahs back. That's how he interprets those words. The same sochatev l'chal abeitchem b'shimcha is give the reward to them. But v'simcha keinu imam, make sure that our portion remains with our name on it, so that when we ultimately reach that point in maturity, that we can derive our mitzvahs back. Now, he says, let's analyze this in light of Esav and Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, Esav's living in Eretz Yisrael. And yes, Esav is doing kibud avim. Yaakov Avinu is off in Haran, or is in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. And he's dying to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he's yearning to do the mitzvah of kibud avim. Now, Esav had all kinds of ulterior motives for what he was doing. So, what happens is each of these are creating angels. Yaakov Avinu is creating angels of emotion, of desire. Esav is creating the angels which are made up of the action. So each one of them, Yaakov Avinu doesn't have the action of kibud avim because he's away from his parents. Esav, on the other hand, has the action without the desire. So the Arizal says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes their actions and combines it with the good intentions, and the tzaddik walks away with the whole mitzvah. So Yaakov Avinu not only has his own desire, but in actuality, he has Esav's fulfillment of the mitzvah as well. So here Esav is very confident that he's going to beat Yaakov Avinu in the merit of the fact that he fulfilled the mitzvah of kibud avim, and in the merit of the fact that he's been living in Eretz Yisrael. Little does he know that Yaakov Avinu is walking away with everything he did. Yaakov's getting full credit. He's got the angels. Now, the symbolism of this is where Yaakov Avinu is coming now into Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden he's greeted by a whole camp of angels. Well, who are these angels? These are Esav's angels. Esav's got 20-something years of fulfilling the mitzvah of kibud avim, of living in the land of Israel. Say, Yaakov Avinu greets them, and they say, well, Yaakov, we're yours. You know, they're coming because Yaakov Avinu was walking away with Esav's mitzvahs. Now, Yaakov Avinu wants us to understand for all time that this is a collaborative effort. It was made up of Yaakov's mitzvahs and Esav's mitzvahs. So he calls it Machanayim, even though it was one camp. But Yaakov wants us now to understand the importance of doing mitzvahs correctly, of doing mitzvahs with joy, of doing mitzvahs with passion. He doesn't want us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with dry, robotic observance of Torah and mitzvahs. So he calls the place Machanayim to drive home the message, don't fall into the trap of robotic mitzvahs, of empty, shallow mitzvahs. Do mitzvahs with passion so that you're bringing Machanayim, you bring both camps, the fulfillment of the mitzvah physically and the soul of the mitzvah, which creates the soul of the angel. See, he calls it Machanayim for our benefit, to say to us, lest we think that we're going to go through life fulfilling hollow, empty, robotic action mitzvahs and think that we've stolen all of Gan Eden for ourselves. Don't make them. It's got to be made up of Machanayim. We have to realize that there are two levels going on each time we fulfill a mitzvah. There's the soul of the mitzvah and there's the action of the mitzvah. And we need to have both. So now, Yaakov Avinu takes these angels and says, "Man, I need another favor from you. Esav is coming to greet me with 400 people. He thinks that he's going to wipe me out. Do me a favor. Would you go and point out to him that Taryag mitzvahs shamati? No, I didn't just fulfill 611 mitzvahs. Minus living in Israel and honoring my parents. But do me a favor, go to Esav and point out to him Taryag mitzvahs shamati. That where he thinks he's going to come to me and beat me with the fact that he has these two additional mitzvahs that I didn't have, inform him, you angels, who were the most qualified people, because, you know, there were angels wearing Yaakov's color. It was, you know, whatever, I don't know what Yaakov's team color was, but they were all dressed up in Yaakov Avinu's colors, and they were going, and here Esav thinks that he's got these, you know, that he's got them in his back pocket, because he's the one who did kibud avim for all these years. Do me a favor, would you have a conversation, please, with Esav, and inform him, first of all, thank him, because the truth is that Yaakov Avinu now owed Esav. And that's why Rabbi Friedman explains That was the meaning. He says, why would he go and give Esav all these gifts? Because Yaakov did not want to get something for nothing. Nobody likes getting something for nothing. He wanted to recognize the gift that Esav gave him. Esav just handed him over. How many years? 20-something years. Huh? 34? It doesn't sound right. Huh? 28. Wait, it was a long time. Lots of years of Kibud Av V'Em. You don't want to take that for granted. You don't want to be an ingrate. So he sends Esav the gifts, because as he said earlier, the tzaddik doesn't want it. The reason the tzaddik eventually returns the mitzvahs to the person that they came with is because that person desires them back. The truth is that every one of us in our heart wants to have those mitzvahs in our credit. Therefore, the tzaddik returns them to them. But he knew that Esav didn't want them back. So he didn't want to take something for nothing. So he paid Esav for the fact that he acted on his behalf to do all these mitzvahs. It never occurred to Esav that he was sitting and working all these years on behalf of Yaakov Avinu. So we understand why it was Machanayim. We understand why it was that Yaakov Avinu sent angels rather than sending people. We understand why Esav received these gifts from Yaakov, because Yaakov Avinu wanted to pay him. We understand why Yaakov Avinu was trying to impress Esav with something which seems to be so unimpressive to a person like Esav, which was that because Esav was going to hold himself over Yaakov Avinu with the fact that he had these mitzvahs that Yaakov couldn't do, Yaakov Avinu was teaching Esav, and most importantly, teaching us a critical lesson in mitzvah observance, and that is that we have to remember that whereas the fulfillment of mitzvahs physically is imperative, but that we can't avoid the fact that we have to feel a sense of tremendous privilege. And just addressing your point a little bit more about the mitzvahs that we really don't, to use the popular vernacular, we don't really dig. I don't think that that's a contradiction with the sense of privilege that one can feel. I remember hearing somebody speaking about fasting on Tisha B'Av. I dread that whole period of time. And it's not only because of the milchigs of the 9 days. There are other components, just all the trappings of it. But I remember somebody saying, the Kozhen Tzimagid points it out, that even a mourner needs to mourn with a sense of simcha, that they're able to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem in mourning. And that's not a contradiction. Now, if it's not a contradiction in mourning, which would seem to be the most stark example of contrast, a person needs to understand. I mean, I remember seeing, somebody told me the name of the Novominsky Rebbe, that Ovel, which is a mourner, is an acronym for Ich bin listig. I'm joyful. And that the bracha of Dayana Emes, Chazal tell us in Masechtas Brachos, that just like a person is obligated to be Mevarech ala Toiva, Kach Mevarech ala Ra. The Gemara says that just like a person is obligated to thank Hashem for good things, that's how a person is obligated to bless for the bad things. And Rashi writes there, what does it mean, just like? Rashi says, Besimcha. What does that mean? That means that a person has to recognize that in every situation, there is the aspect that we have the ability to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously, if you're sitting down in the sukkah to a festive meal, we enjoy that, depending on what the weather's like outside. Right. I don't have a... Yeah.
I hate every aspect.
You could put Simchas Torah in as a second for many people, but it's the lack of control aspect. But nonetheless, a person can say, I recognize that this doesn't meet my definition of fun, of enjoyment. Nonetheless, it's a tremendous privilege that I have to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should we work on that other aspect of it? Obviously, that's something you shouldn't take sitting down. It's something you should invest in. But nonetheless, it doesn't diminish the privilege aspect of it any less so than so many other mitzvahs of you know, we don't even know what we're in for when Mashiach comes.